What's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays? Decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
The following is brought to you by the Social Suplex Podcast Network.
Kosei Fujita, listening, keeping strong side.
Yo, this is Rich Latta from One Nation Radio. This is brought to you by the Social Suplex Podcast Network. We present to you the Ace of Podcasts, keeping it strong style. Let's go. It's the Ace of Podcasts, keeping it strong style. Covering New Japan, they ready to hold it down. Jeremy Donovan and the young boy Josh. Come and hit a job out in Barrio the Frost. From the Tokyo Dome over to the G1. Social Suplex is the network where we can get it done. I'ma chill and let them have it, cause this is just an intro. Keeping the strong style, 6 stars from the get-go, boy. Yeah, from Tampa Bay to the Tokyo Dome, this is Keeping It Strong Style. With your hosts, Jeremy Donovan and the young boy Joshua Smith. And thank you for listening.
Welcome to Keeping Strong Style, the ASA podcast on the Social Suplex Podcast Network. Jeremy Donovan here, solo this week. On today's show, I'll review nights 1 through 4 of Super Junior Tag League and cover all this news in the world of New Japan Pro Wrestling. Please support our show by subscribing and following the Social Suplex Podcast Network and keeping a strong style on the podcast app of your choice and leaving a rating and review. You can also get all the network's podcasts over at socialsuplex.com. Check out our Chopped Tea store, chopped-tees.com/KIStrongStyle. That's where you can get your official Keeping It Strong Style merchandise. For now, if you enjoy this podcast, please consider making a one-time or monthly donation by visiting socialsuplex.com/donate and click on the donate button under the Keeping It Strong Style logo. And we are streaming live right now on patreon.com/KIStrongStyle for IWGP subscribers. If you want to watch our show live or listen without ads, sign up at patreon.com/KIStrongStyle. And it's a good week to be a subscriber on the Patreon. We had two episodes of Tanahashi Ace of the Universe drop recently. There will be another one dropping probably maybe tomorrow, maybe Wednesday, the 2010 episode will be dropping. I know Josh is working on getting the rest of it ready as well. So you can get that on the $5 tier. That's where you get all of our bonus audio and ad-free version of the show. And if you listened to us last week, you know that Josh said he wasn't going to be here this week. I believe he's celebrating an anniversary. So shout out to him. Hope he's having a good time. So I'll be holding the fort down here. And man, I did try to get a fill-in for this week, and nobody's really jumping at the bit to review the Super Junior Tag League. They're very hard slot to fill here. So it's all good. I watched the show, so I'll take you guys through everything. I know a lot of people have kind of just been, you know, lurking online to see what's happening, kind of glazing over, maybe cherry picking one or two matches. So I'll give you guys the full rundown here, the standings, and where we go as we head into the finals this Sunday. That's right. The tournament is pretty much almost already over. Before we jump into that, one last thing here. So just like I said last week with Chopped Tees, Chop Tees is closing down their store. As of right now, it looks like things are still up and you can still place an order, but I do not know how long that's going to last. So if you have been waiting to get you some Keeping It Strong style merchandise from Chop Tees or any of the other Social Suplex merch, I'm rocking a Tunnel Talk t-shirt right now. Go over to chopped-tees.com/social-suplex/KI-strong-style and try and grab some merch before the store officially shuts down. And like I said last week, we are reviewing our options for where we will move our merch in the future. We'll definitely probably update our Pro Wrestling Tees store, but we did have some other people reach out with some other options. So stay tuned on that, and we'll let you guys know about the merch. But let's jump into Super Junior Tag League. So this past night we had, this past week we had four nights of the tournament. So gonna do it how we normally do our dual block tournament reviews. So we're gonna start off with the A block, and starting off with the A block, leading the block, we have the IWGP Junior Tag Team Champions, Doki and Sho. So they are currently undefeated, 3-0, 6 points. Night 1, they defeated the United Empire team of Jacob Austin Young and Templario in 11 minutes and 28 seconds. Night 2, defeating Funky Carrot. That's a team of Dragon Daya and Riske Taguchi. And they beat them in 19 minutes and 5 seconds. And then on Night 3, they defeated Gato and Hiromu Takahashi in 13 minutes and 58 seconds. So with Doki and Sho, I mean, you know what it is with House of Torture, and that's pretty much been the whole story of their tournament so far and the story of their success, the House of Torture shenanigans. You get the ref distraction, Sho's hitting people like this black mirror pan thing. Of course, you got Doki with the pipe, and oh yeah, so there's been tons of ref bumps, distracting the ref for these guys to get these wins. And yeah, it hasn't been super entertaining to watch, and especially with a guy like Doki, who's just so talented, and just what a great run he had last year as champion, and now stuck in this team here with Sho. And obviously kayfabe wise, he's doing fine as he's a double champion, junior tag champion, and the singles junior champion. But yeah, these matches have not been very entertaining. A lot of funny ha-ha with these guys. And I guess maybe I should back out here for a second. That's kind of an overall theme of the whole tournament. I feel like this tournament is very light, fluffy, a lot of ha-ha, a lot of focus on antics and character, and it's just not hitting super high levels. It's not a tournament where we would want this tournament to be, especially when you look at the last few years where we've had, the extreme competition between Catch 2-2 and Connors and Maloney, Ichiban Sweet Boys, the Jet Setters with Kevin Knight and Kushida. Like, this junior tag team division was really solid for the last couple of years, and we saw some really good to great matches in the last couple of Super Junior Tag Leagues and some really great junior tag team title defenses over the last couple of years as well. And here in this tournament, several makeshift tag teams, several unserious tag teams. And so that's just kind of the overall vibe of the tournament. It's very house show-esque vibes. A lot of antics, a lot of funny ha-ha, a lot of interference. And so obviously with Doki and Sho, they bring the interference. Sho's still doing the thing where he's cutting promos every night and making fun of the town that they're in. And yeah, it's just not the best stuff to watch here. But they are on top of the block, which, I mean, they are the tag team champions, which you would imagine they probably should be on top of the block. And they are actually one of two teams that are alive in the A block. So they have a very good chance here of advancing, winning the A block finals, and going on to the final homecoming on Sunday in Gifu for the finals. So moving on to the next team, the other team that's alive, also with 6 points, 30-0, and that is the Hantai team of Yo and Master Watto. So on night one, Watto and Yo, they defeated Funky Carrot of Dragon Daya and Reese Kataguchi. Night two, they defeated Clark Connors and Daiki Nagai. And then on night three, they defeated the United Empire team of Jacob Austin Young and Templario. Yo and Watto was a team that Josh and I predicted last week as one of the favorites to win this block. These guys are, they've had their history in the junior tag division. Obviously, Yo with Sho and Roppongi 3K, they won a tag league right when they came back from excursion, won the championships, won those multiple times. And so, plenty of experience there, also teaming up with Rocky Romero as well. And then Master Watto, he teamed with Taguchi, team 6 or 9, and he's teamed with Desperado a bit as well. So both these guys, very strong tag wrestlers. And I think both these guys actually excel in a tag team scenario, especially someone like Yo. I know there are people who are big fans of Yo and a lot of his singles work. And from time to time, I think he can rise to the occasion and have a great singles match. But I think his bread and butter, his sweet spot, is being in a tag team. And him and Watto have looked really good here. They've gelled really well, and I think it's a good spot to have those guys while you're trying to figure out who the next singles challenger is going to be. And so yeah, they've been very entertaining as a team, picking up some good wins here. So they are the other team that's alive here in the block. So it's going to come down to Yo and Watto and Doki and Sho, and these guys will face each other later on this week. So essentially, the winner of that will go into the finals on Sunday at the Tanahashi final homecoming. And right now, I'm leaning Yo and Watto going in, just because Doki and Sho are the tag team champions, and normally the winner of the thing is challenging the tag champs. Also you could have the champs go through and then they lose, and the winners, obviously they beat the champions in the final, so they definitely get a title match coming up. But knowing New Japan and their love for setting up multi-man tag matches for the Dome, I can see Yo and Watto advancing to the finals, and then you do some kind of multi-man scenario, because they would have beaten Doki and Sho, and so they can, kind of hold that claim to a title match, and then you have a team from the B block win a tournament, and then you can do a three-way scenario at Wrestle Kingdom. And so I think that's the way they're going to go. But again, Yo and Watto have been looking really good here as a team. I wouldn't say any of their matches are must watch. You need to go out, stop what you're doing and go watch them. But if you had to pick one from these guys, I would say probably watch the United Empire match against JAY and Templario. So then every other team here in the block is mathematically eliminated. So first, let's look at Hiromu, Takahashi, and Gato. So these guys are sitting at 1-2 with 2 points. So night one, they started off hot. Big win over their stablemates in Clark Connors and Daiki Nagai. Then on night two, they fell to United Empire. And then on night three, they lost to Doki and Sho. And like I mentioned earlier, with the theme of this tournament kind of being a lot of funny ha-ha, we're getting that with Gato and Hiromu here. Obviously, we've seen the War Dogs and Unaffiliated. They have, they squashed the beef, and they have come together, and they're working together here and working together in Super Junior Tag League. So, and it's obviously the first time that Gato and Hiromu have really been teaming together. So there's been a lot of, you know, miscommunication, and the whole bit that they've been doing is Hiromu throwing Gato into people, making Gato do shoulder blocks and cross bodies. And, you know, Gato's trying to do, you know, the Bull Club cheating stuff and trying to get Hiromu on board with that. And they're both trying to do Gato clutches, and Hiromu is making Gato do superfly splashes, which, again, I criticize this tournament a little bit for being funny, haha, but there's something about Gato and his mannerisms, and obviously Hiromu too, and it's been light fun, and it has been funny watching some of their interactions, and Hiromu looking at Gato and being like, super fly, do the super fly, and making Gato go up to the top. So, I mean, it's been funny, but also I don't think it's the best use of Hiromu. I mean, I much would have rathered Hiromu and Teton, or Hiromu and the guy teaming up here, but I guess we know we need to further this unaffiliated War Dog story. So just a lot of kind of miscommunication comedy between these guys, and the times that they've lost, you know, Hiromu's thought that things were under control, and then next thing you know, Gato's getting pinned by somebody. So those things are not really working out so well with this unaffiliated and War Dog Union. And with a few more matches, we'll see if Gato and Hiromu can pull it together. So the other team that is mathematically eliminated here, the United Empire team of Templario and Jacob Austin Young. So they're also sitting at 1-2 with 2 points. Opening night, they lost to the House of Torture team of Doki and Sho. Night two, they bounced back with that victory over Gato and Hiromu. And then on night three, they ended up losing to Master Wato and Yo. So, interesting team being thrown together here for United Empire. And it obviously, it's very weird because Templario is one half of the New Japan Strong Tag Team Champions, along with TJP, who he obviously has not been in Japan, and I guess still part of United Empire, guess not, I don't know. But also, they did not mention him at all on commentary, did not really mention that Templario was a strong tag team champion with this man. So that's just kind of like non-canon, doesn't exist right now. And Jacob Austin Young back on the tour here. He had been off for a tour or two, but he's back here in Japan. New look, got some new gear, and I actually think that he's really getting better. You know, I've been very critical of Jacob Austin Young, and to me, previously, he's just kind of been like that default creator wrestler guy that you open up your WWE game. He's just kind of the default, you know, one of the default templates you can pick, and you know, fine wrestling, nothing blow away. But I do think that he's starting to, you know, put some things together. I think he looked a lot better in this tournament than he's done in his whole run, and maybe that's just because he's getting a little bit more time to work here in a tag team environment. You know, usually he's in more 6-, 8-man, 10-man tags, and it's kind of hard to fully, you know, shine in those matches, especially if you're new and trying to get, you know, acclimated to Japan. But I think here in just a straight up 2-on-2 setting, it has allowed him to showcase more of what he can do and show the improvement that he's been making while being on these New Japan tours. So I think he's been looking good. Templario is always awesome, and the crowd have been super hype for him, especially in Corkin. Lots of people with Templario mask and really getting behind him, and he's doing really a lot of cool high flying maneuvers as well. So they have been a pretty solid team to watch. Again, nothing from them has been blow away. You need to stop what you're doing and watch one of their matches. If you wanted to pick one, I would probably go with the Wato and Yo match, the match with the less shenanigans there. But overall, solid team to watch. But yeah, these guys are mathematically eliminated, and just continues the bad luck streak for the United Empire. Then following that, the team of Funky Carrot, Riske Gucci, and Dragon Daya also sitting at 1 and 2 with 2 points. Night 1, losing to Wato and Yo. Night 2, they lost to the tag champs, Doki and Sho. And then on night 3, they bounced back with a win over Clark Connors and Daiki Nagai. So again, more shenanigans from this team with Taguchi and Daya, formerly the Skateboard Bros, but now they are Funky Carrot. I think it has something to do with Dragon Daya's new nickname. I think he's 24, Diamond Carrot, Dragon Daya, something like that. Don't quote me on that, but I'm sure the Dragon Gate fans will correct me. But he has some kind of new nickname involving Carrot, and also Taguchi's Funky Weapon. So there you go, Funky Carrot. That's their new team name. And obviously, lots of butt stuff here. They have this double team move where Dragon Daya does like a pendulum, like surfboard thing, and he's bumping people into Taguchi's butt. So you're getting all the, the butt play and double team butt maneuvers and them throwing people into Taguchi's butt. It's Taguchi. That's what you're going to get. And so we got a lot of that. Also, in tournaments, you do get glimpses of big match Taguchi busting out that big plancha to the outside to the floor. And as much as I don't really love the How the Torture matches, I will say the Night 2 main event did get the crowd pretty rocking there. And this was the one match where, like, Taguchi fully kind of went into that big match Taguchi mode. He, he's slapping around these guys. He's getting frustrated. The big plancha to the outside. He's really cranking on that ankle lock. And man, he got fired up. The crowd was getting into it. Corkin crowd was fully behind him. And there was this great closing stretch where Taguchi had the ankle lock onto Doki. And he's just cranking it and cranking it and cranking it. Doki gets the ropes, and then but Taguchi picks him up. It's the Dodon near fall, gets him right back into Omikron ankle, and he's just cranking it. Daya's doing a great job of keeping Sho out of it, and the crowd is rumbling, and they really want to see Taguchi tap out Doki here. And I thought they were going to go that way because, you could easily just have Taguchi be a challenger of the month for the singles title. Then you can give Taguchi and Daya a future tag team title shot. And it was just a super hot spot there. And then, of course, you get your shenanigans, Raptor distraction. Taguchi gets hit with a weapon. And then Doki ends up doing a schoolboy and getting the win. So what was a great kind of closing stretch, also getting muddied up with How the Torture stuff. But that for a Doki and Sho match was pretty solid. And again, the crowd was really rocking and really behind Taguchi and Daya, and probably the best Taguchi performance in a very, very long time. So if you want to watch some Funky Carrot, that would be probably one of the matches to watch from these guys this past week. And then the last team here in the A block, Clark Connors, Daiki Nagai. So they are sitting at 0 and 3, 0 points. So obviously mathematically eliminated. Night 1, losing to Gato and Hiromu. Night 2, they lost to Wato and Yo. And night 3, they lost to Funky Carrot. So the story with these guys, again, kind of similar to Gato and Hiromu with, War Dogs unaffiliated, trying to work together, but a little bit of a deeper story with Clark and Nagai. Clark is wanting to give Nagai a more violent streak, a more violent edge. And so it almost kind of seems like, Nagai's having a little mini excursion in Bullet Club because he's out there. He's throwing up 2 sweets with Clark when he comes out. And Clark has him using the tire sawn and is trying to just really get him to be more aggressive, more violent, and really kind of show a deeper level, a deeper edge. And so that's kind of been this little mini mentor story with these guys. And again, miscommunication with them as well, bumping into each other, and then also Hideki Nagai being the young lion still is eating the falls on these things. But it seems like Clark kind of knew what the deal is and was using this more as a way to mentor Nagai than really try and win the tournament. I mean, obviously, kayfabe-wise, I'm sure he wants to win the tournament, but it seems like there was just more of a focus on him mentoring Daiki Nagai. And so they've been a pretty solid team to watch as well. And I think Daiki Nagai is awesome. And also, we've been singing his praises. Great facial reactions, great timing, really great drop kick, great fire. You know, when we were talking about the Aaron Wolf evil segment from King of Pro Wrestling, and a lot of people were talking about, you know, did Aaron Wolf show enough fire? Could there have been more? I was definitely on the side of things where I felt like Wolf could have shown more fire. And when you look at a guy like Daiki Nagai, that's what I'm talking about. Like, Daiki Nagai makes, he's been making the most of little moments. And again, his facial reactions, the way that he is already kind of connecting with the crowd and the intensity that he shows, the charisma that he has. I think there is a very bright future for Daiki Nagai. I think he could be, you know, a future junior ace. And I mean, obviously, that I think that's a very good spot to have. Obviously, it's not your heavyweight ace or a top heavyweight star, but he just has so much charisma. He can easily kind of be that new Hiromu style figure, where it's a guy that just has a ton of charisma, great wrestler, great connection, and can be a focal point of that division once he comes back from excursion. So hopefully that's the way they go, and you know, they don't screw up his excursion in return. And Clark, you know, again, a lot of focus on the tire san and getting Daiki Nagai to be more violent. Clark wearing the jeans, the street fight gear all throughout this tour as well. So fun team to watch. If you had to watch one of their matches this week, I'd probably go with the Wato and Yo match. I mean, if you really want the funny haha, I mean, you could watch the them versus Gato and Hiromu. And also, I do want more serious action, but Gato, just his mannerism and the things he does is just hilarious. And him kind of pulling one all over on Clark and, you know, taking advantage of that relationship to get the win over these guys. So that is the A block. We had a question here from Slut for Instant Noodles, Devin in the Discord. I do not make these names up. That's his name. This man loves instant noodles, apparently. But he says, thoughts on them eliminating four of the six A-block teams on night three of an 8 or 9 night tournament? Feels like too many eliminations too soon to me. In a tournament like this, I really don't mind that they did one of the blocks where it's just pretty much two teams and everybody else is eliminated. And this is something we talked about with G1 this year. We might have mentioned it during Super Juniors as well, but definitely we talked about it during G1. And the problem is with a lot of these dual block tournaments, we see a lot of parity booking. It's very even, Steven. Nobody's really pushed ahead of another guy. Everybody kind of ends at, you know, 10 points, and then you maybe your winners are at 12. And so you have these very close, similar, you know, 6-3, 5-4 records, and you're not really setting aside anybody or really establishing anybody. They are just kind of in the middle, and it's really kind of, it's hard to get people over when they're all on the same playing field. And so I think the advantage of having it, what they did with this A block here, where you have two teams far early lead and they have eliminated everybody else, it kind of lets you know, like, oh wow, well, Doki and Sho are the tag team champions, and so yeah, these guys should be, even though obviously they're cheating, like, but they should be winning matches and be one of the teams pushed. And then you look at Wato and Yo, it's like, oh wow, yeah, these guys are now a solid team, they're a step ahead. And so it kind of gives some fuel behind the teams you're pushing, because now these two teams are standing out from the pack, and there's a clear delineation between, like, all right, these two teams are the top teams in this block, and everybody else is below them. So I think there's some interesting story elements you can do when you don't go the parity booking route and you eliminate people early. And I think that you can play around with that in G1. Obviously, there's more knights, more guys. I think that with two blocks, you can tell two different stories. You don't need two blocks that are both parity-based and everybody's alive in the final night. I think you can mix things up. You can shake it up. You can have a block like this where, yeah, you know, we still have a few more knights left, and you already know what the deal is, but their remaining matches, Sho and Doki and Watto and Yo, are going to be very important, depending on who they're facing. So I thought that's an interesting way to go. And obviously, I think with a longer tournament, it might be harder to do this kind of story. Like if you did it in G1, guys would probably still be alive a little bit longer. But because this tournament is very condensed, and I mean, this thing's going to be over. You know, block plays over Friday. So it's very condensed, very fast paced. I think you can get away, especially with a story like that, with the amount of teams here and the amount of dates they did. But overall, I still think they could do something like this in Best Super Juniors, in G1 Climax, and kind of eliminate some guys over. I mean, you know, last time they did something similar was a couple of years ago with Jeff Cobb and Okada. In, I believe they were in A block as well during that tournament, where, yeah, you just had both those guys just running through people, and it's like, all right, well, these are the top two guys, the top two stars in this block. You know, they got that big push, and then it came down to them, and then, you know, Okada wins, and it's a big moment. And so you can tell these stories in the blocks and not have to just rely on parity booking. Well, let's take a look over at the B block now, where we do have more teams still alive in the tournament. So we'll start at the top of the block with our good friend Robbie Eagles and Kosei Vegeta, the Ichiban Sweet Boys. So they are 3-0 with 6 points. In night one, they defeated El Desperado and Kukai. Night two, they defeated the House of Torture team of Dick Togo and Kanemaru, Whiskey Dick, as they're being called. And then on night four, the Sweet Boys defeated Kushida and Yuki Yoshioka. So as we all thought, and no surprise, Ichiban Sweet Boys, I would say they have been the best team in B block and the best team in the overall tournament. These guys are just a really great tag team. They gel really well together. They've debuted a new finisher. I believe it's called the Interceptor. Kind of a double team backdrop looking maneuver. And so they've been doing that, picking up a lot of wins with that. So usually when a team or a person debuts a new finisher, that's usually a sign that, yeah, they're getting a push and they're going to be doing a lot of winning. And that's what we've seen here with Eagles and Vegeta. And Robbie, a little bit of a new look, had a little stash going on there. And definitely a little bit more of a cockier vibe from our buddy Robbie throughout the tournament. But I can't blame him. These guys have looked great in ring, and really some great closing stretches. And they just, again, have really gelled really well together, the team. I think Vegeta is really coming into his own, and he is getting really connected with the crowd. And especially you watch the Korakuen shows, the crowds are really into him and get really behind him. So I definitely think there's something there with Vegeta as a single star, but also he's really great here with Robbie. And these guys had a lot of really very good to great matches that I could recommend. The number one I would say would be the night one match with Desperado and Kukai. I would go about 4 stars on that. That's probably the best match that's happened in the whole tournament thus far. They're also the match against Kushida and Yuki Yoshioka was also very good. I'm probably more 30.75 on that one, but I know that there's a lot of people that are higher on that match than I am. So that would be another one to recommend from the Ichiban Sleepboys.
This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to HarlemGlobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
Hey, hockey fans! Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at USAHockeyNTDP.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.
Hey, this is Steve Gorman, radio host, sports commentator, former drummer for the Black Crowes. The winter holidays are here, a time for festive celebrations, family gatherings, and ringing in the new year. Whether it's a holiday party, a night out with friends, or just relaxing by the fire with a few drinks, it's a season full of good cheer. But here's something else to add to your holiday plans, a safe and sober ride home. Just like in sports and music, always have a game plan. And the most important part of any plan is sticking to it. If you plan to drink, take that plan a step further. Call a rideshare, a taxi, a sober friend, or have a designated driver lined up before the night begins. Drinking and driving is a decision that can change your life and the lives of others forever. A DUI, a crash, an injury, the consequences are real and lasting. So please, for your sake and for everyone else on the road, make the smart choice. Get a sober ride home. Drive sober or get pulled over. Paid for by NHTSA.
And then following the Sweet Boys, we have Kushida and Yuki Yoshioka. So they are sitting with 2-1 record with 4 points. So night one, they defeated Tiger Mask and Yamato. Then on a night two, they got a forfeit win over Taichi Ishimori and Robbie X. So apparently there's been a case of the flu going around the New Japan roster and the Noge Dojo. So Ishimori not clearing the medical protocol to be able to be cleared on this evening. So there was a lot of card shakeup on the undercard as well. So, you know, you had Kushida ended up facing Zane Jay in a singles match, and then Robbie X got put in a six-man tag. So that whole card got shook up due to the Ishimori having the flu as well. There's some other young lions that had the flu. But so Ishimori not cleared. They had to, him and Robbie had to forfeit the win to Kushida and Yuki Yoshioka. And then after that, night four, Kushida and Yoshioka lost to the Ichiban Sweet Boys. So this has been a pretty solid team to watch, you know. Not super familiar with Yuki Yoshioka, but he seems to gel really well together with Kushida. And also, I mean, Kushida is at this point, a junior, just tag team expert. He's had so many partners over the years and just seems to always gel with them and produces some really great tag team wrestling. And so the same things here happening with him and Yoshioka. So a lot of working on the arms here. It seems like, Yuki's really listening to Kushida throughout the match. And they're doing a lot of the time splitter, like double arm ringer stuff. And they've also incorporated some of the jet setter tag maneuvers that Kushida and Kevin Knight have done. So some cool kind of, you know, throwback callbacks to some of Kushida's other teams. And then Yoshioka being a very exciting guy to watch as well. And obviously a lot more of a high flyer than Kushida. So he's been flying around this whole tournament. And so They've been a really solid team to watch. And I mean, overall, this B block has been a much better watch than the A block. And this has been another sturdy team here. Would definitely, again, the Sweet Boys match would be probably the main match to check out from these guys this past week. Then following that, the War Dogs team of the Bone Soldier, Taiji Ishimori, and Robbie X. So they're sitting at 2-1 with 4 points. So night one, they defeated Whiskey Dick. Night two, like I mentioned, they had the forfeit loss to Kushida and Yoshioka. And then on night four, they defeated Tiger Mask and Yamato. So you got to wonder if the absent the forfeit there, they were supposed to win that match against Kushida and Yoshioka. Who knows? I still think that Ishimori and Robbie X are a strong team to get to the overall tournament finals. So they're very much still alive. And again, I'm wondering, could they could have been 3-0 right now had they not forfeited, and maybe we would have gotten a similar story where you had War Dogs as being right up there with Ichiban Sweet Boys, and it would come down between those two. But it is a little bit more exciting to have a block where, yeah, there are some more teams open. So, and who knows, maybe they would have lost that match, but they are very much still alive. And again, they are gelling really well. Robbie X, not really feeling his little Red Riding Hood, black hood that he's coming out to the ring with. But besides that, his wrestling is very fun to watch. Big time high flyer, the X Express, that spiral tap looking for maneuver. I think Robbie X is awesome and is a lot of fun to watch. And him and Ishimori are a solid team. And if you want a match to watch from those guys, probably, yeah, go the Tiger Mask and Yamato are out there. Then following those guys, you got Whiskey Dick, Yoshinobu Kanemaru, and Dick Togo, who are still alive with 2 points. They are 1-2. So night one, they lost to Robbie X and Taiji Ishimori. Night two, losing to the Sweet Boys. And then they bounce back night four by defeating El Desperado and Kukai. It's the, you know, Kanemaru playbook from Best of the Super Juniors. Obviously, there is a lot of House of Torture style shenanigans, but there's also just kind of the nasty, kind of grimy Kanemaru style, where if you've been, you know, watching him the last several years and you watch his Super Juniors, Kanemaru's always picking apart a body part. He's going after the leg, going after the knee. He's just really just trying to hurt his opponents, get the edge, and just kind of be that grumpy veteran who people kind of see him and expect him to lose, and he does end up and pull a lot of surprise wins. And they've been kind of doing that playbook, at least with the attacking of body parts. And so him and Dick Togo have been very vicious in that aspect. And then as well, you have the normal House of Torture shenanigans. So that came into play, especially in that match with Despe and Kukai. They throw the powder in Kukai's face, and he ended up getting pinned by Doki, and getting pinned by Kanemaru. And you just have these guys, the shenanigans failed for them on night one and two, but that was a very important win for them to get over Despy and Kukai, and that keeps them alive in the tournament. So they do have a very outside chance of winning. They would need Sweet Boys to lose their last two matches. They would need everybody else at 2-1. To only win one more match or none of their matches so that they could win their next two and end up with 6 points, 3-2, and be at a tie with the Sweet Boys. But I don't see that happening. I think, you know, these guys, they might end up playing spoiler to somebody. That's a great role that Kanemaru always plays, so We will go into what the remaining schedule looks like, and these guys will probably end up playing spoiler. I do not see them pulling the crazy comeback story and advancing to the finals. So then the other team that's 1-2 of 2 points, El Desperado and Kukai. So they lost to the Sweet Boys on night one, night two defeating Tiger Mask and Yamato, and then night four losing to Dick Togo and Kanemaru. Desperado and Kukai, another solid team to watch. This is my first time really kind of getting a great look at Kukai. He had the tag title match when I was out in Norway, and I still have not caught up on that match. I didn't go back and watch that specific match. So I know that he's, you know, kind of been a recent addition to New Japan, and it kind of fits this whole template of Despy kind of bringing in people off the Mexican indies, just like he did with Doki. And yeah, I think that they gel really well together, the team. I like Kukai of what I'm seeing so far. He had a lot of intensity, very hard hitter, great high flyer. He's doing the topes and the suicidas every night. And so, yeah, he's looking really good. And I don't know if this is going to lead to a more regular booking for him. It might, if it follows the Doki pattern. You know, Doki came in replacing Desperado in Super Juniors several years ago, and that was kind of the door open that he needed to be a permanent figure in New Japan and be a part of these tours and be a part of factions and win titles and all that stuff. So this could be the door that Kukai needs to be in Japan and be a part of the New Japan roster and be an addition to this division. He does have the goal of wanting to be in Super Juniors, and so I think he would be a great addition to that tournament next year. And him and Despy are a solid team to have in this division that is desperate for regular tag teams, with the absence of Catch 2-2, Jet Setters, Connors, and Maloney, some of these top teams that have really been, that really established the division the last couple of years. With their absence, a team like Desperado and Kukai is very much needed, and I hope that Kukai earned himself some kind of deal to stay on the New Japan roster. And like I mentioned earlier, the Sweet Boys match is definitely one to watch from these guys. And that's probably if you want to watch one, that's the one to watch from Despy and Kukai. And then the last team here in the B block is going to be Tiger Mask and Yamato. They are 0-30 with 0 points. So they are the only team in the B block that is mathematically eliminated. Night one, they lost to Kushida and Yoshioka. On night two, they lost to Desperado and Kukai. And then on night four, they lost to Robbie X and Taiji Ishimori. And they have been a fine team to watch. This is going to be Tiger Mask's last Super Junior Tag League before he retires. So I think Tiger Mask is a guy that always works hard. Yamato, you know, I've not been another, you know, Dragon Gate guy that I'm not very familiar with, but he's been fun to watch and leans a little bit more onto the antic side. He did this thing every night where he's going for a vertical suplex and he's just like, you know, New Japan Pro Wrestling, I'm going to do it. And he keeps trying to suplex people and it's this whole back and forth spot where he's trying to hit the suplex and he can't get it. And he keeps turning to the crowd like, all right, now's the time I'm going to do it. And so that's just kind of been his whole thing. And it gets the crowd involved. And he's been a solid guy to watch. And these guys have been a fun team. You know, we were talking about it last week. There's not really any really kind of connection between these guys. It's just been kind of thrown together. But, it's worked. They're a solid team. And with them being 0-3, they'll probably end up playing spoiler to somebody down the line as well. And a couple questions here about Tag League. So first from Rambone Slam Pig, he says, who do you think is outperforming expectations so far? You know, honestly, I don't really think there is any team that is outperforming. I think that, you know, a lot of the teams that you expect to be great are great. Ichiban Sweet Boys are hidden where I expect them to be. You know, Ishimori, Robbie X, Despy Kukai, like a lot of these team, all top teams are really hitting. And then everybody else has just been very good. Like I mentioned, Jacob Austin-Young, I feel like he's improved some. So if you want to say them and Templario, but again, I want to really say that outperforming. I mean, they've had some good matches, but it's not like they're going out there and, you know, tearing the house down every night. So, yeah, I can't really say there is a team that is outperforming what I expect them to be. Rambun also asks, which odd couple pairing tag team have you enjoyed the most so far? Let's see. I'd probably have to go with Kushida and Yoshioka, because I feel like they've just gelled really well together. And kind of, again, they're following a lot of the time splitter, jet setter stuff. And they've been a really solid team to watch, even though, you know, they're kind of thrown together. And then just from a pure, like, ridiculous, like, this is fun to watch. I mean, Hiromu and Gato, I think Gato's, like, the funniest man alive, if you just pay attention to the stuff he says in his facial reactions. From a funny haha, they've been an entertaining team to watch. Next question here from Tay Casey in Discord. How do the three Dragon Gate guys stack up to the rest of the field? I think they're all solid additions. And obviously, a lot of times with outsiders, you know, depending on who it is, they don't always get the full on push, or you don't really get to fully see them at the top of the card. And so I feel like all the Dragon Gate guys here they're all kind of in the middle or bottom of their blocks. And none of them have really had like an, oh my gosh, like stand out. Well, maybe Yoshioka, with you look at that Sweet Boys match, but like Yamato, he's been very good. Dragon Daya is always very good, but he's teamed with Taguchi. But I think they are great additions to a tournament like this. I think it's always good to get some fresh faces and get some fresh blood in these tournaments. And I think all three of them could, obviously we've seen Daya in Best Super Junior before. I think Yamato and Yoshioka could be guys that you could slot in there as well. So yeah, I think that they have looked really well, especially compared to some of the other regulars on the tour. Next question here from Emily. As someone who hasn't seen any of Super Junior Tag League yet, whoops, is there any must-see matches I need to go back and watch? So I've mentioned some of those throughout the team, but like, I mean, the one big must-see match, and for me, like, if somebody's asking me for, like, I need to stop what I'm doing and go watch this match, I'm usually recommending something that's four or higher, you know, the quote-unquote notebook match. And so for me, Ichiban Sweet Boys versus Despy and Kukai is the only notebook match I got. I got that at four flat. There are a lot of people, again, like I mentioned, that really love Sweet Boys versus Kushida and Yoshioka. People are higher on that match than I am. So I would say that could be a second match to watch and see if that one hits your notebook. Then next set of questions here from Def Triangle 720. Thoughts on the Junior Tag League so far? So yeah, I've kind of expressed that, but you know, overall, just it's been a very, like I said, lighthearted, fun tour. Lots of antics, a lot of, you know, mishmash. Tag teams, miscommunications, you know, it's a very kind of house show vibe kind of tour, which I guess is fine, but I do think that we've been spoiled the last several years with some of these teams that we've had. We've had some really, you know, some really solid tag action come out of these tournaments the last couple of years. And, you know, we've had matches, you know, some of the block finals, the tournament finals end up on our tag match of the year award. And I don't think anything, even this, you know, the Sweet Boys versus Despy and Kukai, like, I don't think that is quite high enough to end up hitting our ballot for our year in awards, which we are probably about a month away from the cutoff of our eligibility period for our awards. So it's crazy. Yeah, award season right around the corner. I got to get working on our nominees in the ballot. But yeah, there's nothing from this tournament that I can recommend for our ballot. I mean, the Sweet Boys, Despy Kukai, will be a very like low fringe contender, but there's been a lot of really good tag team matches throughout New Japan this year. So we'll see what happens there. Next question, he says, do you think there's some pattern where whenever the junior tag division is strong, the heavy isn't, and vice versa? What I mean is, look back at last year when the junior tag division had clear teams in the mix versus the heavy tag division that had 2 to 3 teams in contention. Yeah, it does kind of seem that there are these kind of ebbs and flows with the tag divisions. And also we've talked about, you know, New Japan not being a tag team promotion, so there's never really a full-on strong focus there. But yeah, it does seem there are times where the heavyweight tag division kind of has their loaded teams. You know, you have your, you had your War Machine and Killer Elite Squad and Guerrilla Destiny, while the junior division was kind of you know, trying to establish teams there. And then and just recently in the past, again, with the junior tag division recently, the last several years, with Catch 2-2, Jet Setters, Ichiban Sweet Boys, Connors and Maloney, like we had this solid set of teams sprinkled in with some of the other teams as well. Whereas a tag team division, you know, it's been the heavyweight tag division has been a hot mess with the belts, you know, flopping around all year until now. Finally, we got the Knockout Brothers bringing some stability to those titles. So yeah, there is kind of it does kind of seem like that does happen. Is another question, anyone new in the tournament that has impressed you? I mean, I think all the Dragon Gate guys are very good. Kukai, I like a lot. And I did, like I mentioned earlier, I did not see, you know, his first set of matches in New Japan. But so still, and obviously he's still fresh, still a new guy. But yeah, Kukai has been probably the most impressive new guy to me. And then last question here, who do you think could win the junior tag league? A new team or previous winners? I think a new team is going to win, and we'll go through the schedule for this upcoming week, and I will lay out what I think is going to go down here. So the tournament's going to pick back up tomorrow, or as you're listening to this, Tuesday, October 28th, and so that going to pick things back up with the A block. There will be some undercard matches, so you're going to have Shomakato and Zane J versus Masatoru Yasuda and Tetsuya Matsumoto. Then Despy, Morishima, Kukai, and Yano versus the War Dogs team of Oscar, Robbie X, Ishimori, and Yuto Ice. Bolton Ole, Tiger Mask, and Yamato versus Hartley Jackson, Kosei Vegeta, and Robbie Eagles. Tanahashi, Kushida, Yoshioka versus Dick Togo, Kanemaru, and Yujiro. And then we get into the tournament action. So the funky carrot team of Dragon Daya and Ryusuke Taguchi will take on Jacob, Austin Young, and Templario. I'd probably go with funky carrot getting the win here, just because it is Jacob, Austin Young, who, I mean, he did pick up a win on this tour in this tournament, but still transitioning out of being that young lion role for the United Empire. So I think he'll probably either pin there. You get a Daya Noguchi a win. Then looking over at the A block, this is not a main event in the A block here. We got Connors and the guy versus House of Torture. And You could have Connerton guy play spoiler here. I'm going to say you probably are. Yeah, probably just going to go with Doke, the safe bet. Have a Doki and Cho get the win there. They need to be undefeated. And then the main event's going to be Gato and Hiromu versus Wato and Yo. And again, you could have Gato and Hiromu play spoiler to Wato and Yo. But again, I think I'm going to go with Wato and Yo also remaining undefeated with Gato in there and them pitting Gato. So you, again, you'll have your two top teams going in undefeated into the last block night. And then moving over to night six, this will be Wednesday, October 29th. We got Tanahashi, Wato, and Yo versus Doki, Sho, and Yujiro Takahashi. And then Clark Connors and Daiki Nagai versus Tetsuya Masamoto and Zane J. Funky Carrot, Katsuya Murashima and Toriano versus the War Dogs and Hiromu. Masatoru Yoshida, Bolton Oleg, and Shimakato versus Callum Newman, Jake Austin Young, and Templario. And then B block action, we got Kushida and Yuki Yoshioka taking on Dick Togo and Kanemaru. I think that should be an easy dub for the Kushida team. Then we got Tiger Mask and Yamato versus the Ichiban Sweet Boys. I'm going to say Tiger Mask and Yamato pull a spoiler here and give these guys their first loss so that they are 3-1. And then with Robbie X and Ishimori, I think they're going to beat Despy and Kukai. And they will also be 3-1, so they're kind of matched up with Sweet Boys. Then Thursday, October 30th, we got Hartley Jackson, Kosei Vegeta, and Robbie Eagles versus Oscar, Robbie X, Ishimori, Yasuda, and Bolton Oleg versus Masamoto and Zane J, Shimakato, Tiger Mask, and Yamato versus Dick Togo, Kanemaru, and Yujiro, Tanahashi, Kushida, and Yoshioka versus Despy, Murashima, and Kukai. And then the A block action. This is the final A block night. We got Wato. Actually, these matches probably are not going to be in order. It's probably going to be depending on point order. So I'm assuming that Wato and Yo versus Doki and Sho is actually going to be the main event of the evening. And then you're going to have Connors and Nagai versus Jacob Austin, Young, and Templario. And then Gato and Hiromu versus Funky Carrot. The only thing that really matters on this night is this Wato and Yo and Doki and Sho match. I'm going to go with Wato and Yo getting the win over Doki and Sho, winning the A block, and also securing themselves a future tag team and title shot. Then we move on to night 8, Friday, October 31st, Halloween. I don't have the full card here, but I do have the tournament matches. So we'll have the Tiger Mask and Yamato versus Whiskey Dick. Then Kushida and Yoshioka versus Desperado and Kukai. And Ichiban Sweet Boys versus the War Dog team of Robbie X and Taiji Ishimori. And again, that's kind of why I kept them neck and neck. And so it's definitely, to me, again, going to come down to that match when and you're in. So I'm going to go with the War Dogs, Robbie X and Taiji Ishimori, beating Sweet Boys to pull the upset and having Robbie X and Ishimori, you know, more of a heel team against your more of a babyface team in Wato and Yo. So that is my predictions for the final. And actually, I think Josh and I had already kind of called that last week. But that's my official prediction. Wato and Yo versus the War Dog team of Robbie X and Taiji Ishimori for the finals, which will take place Sunday, November 2nd. And that is the Tanahashi final homecoming in Gifu. And right now, we only have 3 matches announced for that card. So it will be that Super Junior Tag League final. Yota Tsuji will defend the IWGP Global title against Hiroshi Tanahashi in his final match there in Gifu. And we did have some undercard action with Tanahashi and Tsuji on opposite sides. And Tsuji's been coming out in like this one of the bomber jackets and a hat. And for whatever reason, Tanahashi not pleased with Tsuji's entrance gear. It's not like he was being T-shirt Naito. He wasn't wrestling in a shirt, but you know, he would take the jacket off and just had his gear. But apparently Tanahashi wants the long trench coat and the fedora. He does not want the bomber jacket and the hat. So he's been very critical on Tsuji's entrance gear. So they've been heating things up there for that match. And then the main event will be, well, I guess, honestly, I mean, they could main event with Tsuji and Tanahashi for the global title. But I'm guessing that Takeshita and Goto will be the main event for the IWGP World Heavyweight Championship. So as far as predictions, I mean, I think obviously I think Tsuji is going to retain against Tanahashi. I think that I'm going to go with Ishimori and Robbie X winning the tag league, since Wato and Yo would have pinned Doki and Cho to get to the finals, and then you could always do a multi-man of those three teams there. And then the main event, I think it's pretty clear that Takeshita is going to defeat Goto and walk right into the Tokyo Dome as champion. So hopefully there's some other big matches that get added to this final homecoming show. It is replacing Power Struggle this year, and it's the one last really big show before the Dome to set up angles and build matches, because after this, it's World Tag League, and you're not really getting a ton of build during that tour. Well, so that's going to be it for the upcoming schedule for this week. No other news items here, so just a few other questions, and we'll wrap the show up here. So, question from Tony Farcon in a Discord. Whom in New Japan would you pair with Noah for a tag team? So I'm not super familiar with Noah. I did look him up before the recording. A guy 6'7" in pro wrestling Noah. Seems pretty athletic. Who would I put him with? I don't know. I kind of feel like he could fit with Yuto Ice. Again, with the Ito, with the tall Oscar, he could fit in with Null. Null could be a War Dog, just based off of the few clips I saw from him. But yeah, I think he would definitely fit as a team with Yuto Ice as well. DeFranco720 says, who would you like to challenge Doki for the junior title at the Dome? I mean, my pick, if he's healthy, would probably be Francesco Akira. I think Akira had a really strong year up until some of the injuries that he's been facing. And he's a guy that's gotten so close time and time again of winning the junior title. And I think he's a guy that can really be established, be a top foreigner in the division. So if he's healthy, which he was on commentary for a couple of shows, he did say that he's 70%, if I remember correctly, back, and is hoping to get back to the Dome. So we'll see what happens. But I think Akira would be a great guy to challenge and beat Doki and kind of transition us back into, you know, a more serious champion. Next question from DatJimmy13. I've seen a theory that Aaron Wolf will be the one to, quote-unquote, get rid of the House of Torture. Do you think this is why this is what they are moving towards with the Knockout Brothers breathing new life back in the tag division? Who do you think will win the World Tag League and challenge them, or should they win? So I guess two different questions there. So first to the Aaron Wolf question, I mean, I guess that could be what they're doing, but I don't think they're going to get rid of House of Torture anytime soon. I know people are saying that this could be a potential slow roll of evil eventually leaving House of Torture and joining Hantai. I don't really know if that's happening. It seems like they really kind of enjoy the House of Torture act, and they kind of have their play-and-play formula for that faction. So I don't really see it as, you know, Aaron Wolf's going to win and then these guys never show up again. But it can be just kind of a big, significant win for him. And then his other question about who should win, who do I think will win World Tag League and challenge the Knockout Brothers, or should they win? At this point, I mean, I feel like they should probably maybe come close to winning, but not win, just because, again, there's not really a ton of strong teams in the heavyweight tag division right now either. So, yeah, there's not really... If they win, it's like, then who to face them? What do you do? So I think it's really important to establish a new set of contenders here for the World Tag League. I mean, I would probably, and I don't know what they're telling with these guys, the story they're telling with these guys, but Umino and Uemura would probably be a pretty good team to win the Tag League and have a rematch and then win the titles in the Dome. That could be an interesting route to go. Outside of them, I can't really think of any other team that I'd want to win. I guess maybe you could go Bishamon. You know, they've been out of the tag spotlight for a little bit. And so you kind of have that, you know, really established tag team in Bishamon versus the Knockout Brothers. And so you could either continue to fuel Knockout Brothers by having them beat, like, the number one, you know, New Japan tag team for the last couple of years. Or you do the big title change, and you give Goto a big win in the Tokyo Dome. So a couple different ways to go there, but I think those are probably, for right now, the two teams that I would go in there, but also very hard to know without a bracket, because I'm assuming there'll probably be a lot of thrown together teams in this thing as well. And then last question here from Make Way for Slide. Do you think Roppongi 3K will ever reunite? I think that they did everything that they could in the junior tag division, but there seems to be calls to bring them back together, to bring back together to shore up the anemic junior tag roster. Absent makes the heart grow fonder, but I think they need to stay gone a while longer for any sort of reunion to make sense. I mean, I'm not clamoring for a Punky 3K reunion. I did enjoy them together as a team, but it's been, what, like 5 or 6 years at this point since they've broken up, maybe more, and they're older. They're just, I don't know about Cho, but if he can still go, but you know, Yo's had issues with shoulder injuries and some injuries, stuff like that. And so I just don't think that they are at that same level if you were to bring them back together as a team. I mean, maybe it could be interesting, but I don't know if they are going to reunite them. I mean, you could hold it off. I mean, I think there would definitely need to be a story of, you know, Yo bringing the show back to the light and not being a bad guy anymore, but it just seems like they really love that House of Torture unit, so I don't really see them blowing that up anytime soon. Well, that is it for the questions, and that's going to be it for the show. So your super quick Super Junior Tag League review and preview. So use your extra time this week to listen to Tanahashi, Ace of the Universe. Next week, Josh will be back. We'll review the last few nights of the tournament and then review the final homecoming show in Gifu for Tanahashi. So if you want to watch our show live or listen without ads, remember you can sign up at patreon.com/KI Strong Style. You can also make a donation by visiting socialsuplex.com/donate. Click on the donate button under the Keeping It Strong Style logo. Make sure to connect with us on social media on X and Blue Sky. Follow us at Cash Strong Style, at Suplex, and at Jeremy Lonovan, and at YB underscore Josh and Liger. On Facebook, follow us at facebook.com/SocialSuplex and the Wrestling Squared Circle Facebook group. On Reddit, I'm the Pro Black Guy, Josh is keeping the strong style. On YouTube, we're at Social Suplex. Join our Social Suplex Discord server to interact with us and other wrestling fans. You can email me at jeremy@socialsuplex.com. Check out all the other shows that we have here on the Social Suplex Podcast Network. One Nation Radio with Rich Latta and James Boyd. All Things Elite with Floyd and Austin. Imps AEW Adventure with the Implications of Matthew Mayer. Wrestling Art with Chris Things. Tone Talk with Ali and Aaliyah. And the Trish and Sarah Wrestling Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe and leave a rating and review. And we'll catch you next week on Keeping a Strong Style, the Ace of Podcasts. Ichiban.
Thank you for listening to Keeping It Strong Style. We'll see you next time.
Hey, hockey fans! Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at usahockeyntdp.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.
This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.